fotballtreneren. En podcast av trenere for trenere. Dagens vert Teddy Moen.
I dag skal vi snakke litt om trenerforeningens samfunnsprogram i slummen i Nairobi, i Matare-slummen. I 2013 så reiste jeg ned på vegne av trenerforeningen for å se og treffe en organisasjon som heter MISA, Matare Youth Sports Association. En fantastisk organisasjon som drevet av barn og unge, og som sørger for at barn og unge får nye muligheter i et vanskelig slumområde i en av de mest overbefolkede områdene i Afrika. Det medførte at trenerforeningen nå nesten gjennom 10 år har brukt over 3 millioner kroner og bygd et unikt utviklingsprogram av trenere i slummen. Med meg i dag så har jeg med meg William Elua, som vår sjefs trenerveileder i programmet i Nairobi. Han en erfaren fotballmann som nå har fått lov til å komme til cupfinalseminaret og bruke en uke i Oslo, der han skal inspireres og jobbe sammen med undertegnere for å lave et enda sterkere program fremover for trenere i slummen i Matare. William, I want to thank you for coming to Oslo, and I really want you to enjoy the week here. William, who are you and what are you doing?
So William is an alumni, a volunteer, or a person who has been at Matare Youth Sports Association for the last since 1996, when I started as a volunteer. William is a football coach in Kenya, currently handling a Premier League side called Kariobangi Sharks Football Club, which plays in the top league. William is also a national team assistant coach under Coach Engin Firat from Turkey, a position that I've held for the last 2 years. William is also doing a lot of community development work with the MISA, training community coaches, mentoring youth, and also giving supportive health to teenage mothers under Matare Youth Sports Association. He's also doing a lot of community work with the Kenyan prisons and jails, visiting kids in the jails, and also offering mentorship support for the people in prison and organizing games for them also. Also doing a lot of work with the Kenyan schools, apparently the high schools, whereby we give an opportunity to talented youth who, in conjunction with the schools, we give them an opportunity to have scholarships. And thereafter, once they finish high school, I help in getting them clubs in the Kenyan Premier League, with my club being the biggest supporter of getting young players to the Kenyan Premier League.
Thank you. It sounds like you are a very busy man. You have a lot of things on your plate. I mean, how is it to be a professional football coach in Kenya?
A great thing, because apparently you will find that lucky enough, we only have 18 Kenyan Premier League teams, and that means 18 top Premier League coaches. How I find it to maneuver through the committee development things I do is that I've empowered a lot of coaches who work under me, basically from my team, and hence why my supportive help come from those coaches for me to sometimes go about with the community work as well as coaching, which is a tight schedule because you have to compete at the top level with other teams.
Because I know that the day for you is a bit different from a Norwegian coach. Very often you actually do coaching sessions with your player 6 a.m. in the morning. How come?
Basically, for sometimes it goes with the condition of the weather, because when it's too sunny, sometimes we'll prefer having sessions a bit in the morning when the sun is not too hot, especially in our country. But most of the teams train in the morning, because that is when there is an availability of the fields. Basically, the fields we use sometimes are used by the schools, and the schools will only give you the fields in the morning hours, because in the afternoon hours, the school children will be using the fields. So our programs run sometimes from 6 to 8 or 9. Thereabout, we are free to go about and do other community works. But myself, I not only train the senior team, but we also have academies or the youth teams, which basically also trains in the afternoon, but it uses the field which is deep within the slums. So we'll have to finish the senior team training, then head to the slums again to train the youth teams.
I see. You got 18 professional or Premier League teams in the top league in Kenya. Out of those 18, would there be 18 full-time professional coaches in every team, or would there be financing for that? Or
of the 18 Premier League teams with their coaches, is that their coaches are full-time employed by those clubs, financed by their sponsors or particular clubs which they are working for. So their full-time job is basically to concentrate on the first team and provide the coaching the coaching work for the teams.
Would also a lot of these do community work like you're doing with so many projects besides? Would that be part of their, you know, commitment as coaches, that they should provide community service?
I believe we are so lucky because you'll only find 18 top coaches in a country. But the question is, what about the other community coaches who provide those players with technical skills before they reach the higher level?
Mm.
Those coaches are not privileged like we are, because they don't have the good knowledge or the good insight or the good network like the top of us have. So it will only be important if 18 of us will go back again and do voluntarily the work of trying to develop more of the community coaches. Because part of my community development coaching is not paid by anyone, but basically it's a voluntary work that sometimes I have to fund it myself to make sure that the knowledge will reach down there. So they are the most community coaches, and we are the least, but with lots of advantage, because we are on a payslip and we are on a platform that at least we can make sure that we share and get the same to the other community coaches.
I see. This is something you live and breathe, because you said you came into MISA when you were
10 years old
as a volunteer.
Yes, as a volunteer.
So you see this as a very important issue in order to establish a better interest for being volunteer? Or?
It is, because it means it's investing in the society. That is what you are doing. Not everyone can do it because other people have other means of trying to get extra from what they are getting. But if you get it right, if was it not for MISA, then I will not be where I am now. Besides serving as a volunteer at MISA when I started as 10 years old, MISA provided me with the basic skills to survive in the industry. MISA provided me with the advanced basic skills. MISA provided me with the professional skills to be where I am. So I'm generally doing it also as a way of giving back to the society. And I believe it's investing in the society that the society pays back.
Good. I mean, not everybody is familiar with what MISA is. Can you say a little bit about Mathare Youth Sports Association, the partner of NFT?
Mathare Youth Sports Association, it's an organization that has been around since 1987, founded by Bob Mundro, who was by then working for UN, and he came into the country, found out that he had a way of uplifting the youth from the slums, whereby when he was visiting the slums of Mathare in early 1980s, he thought of coming up with a program whereby its motto could be giving youth a sporting chance. So MISA, beside the footballing activities, has other projects that help in nurturing or mentoring the young people from the slums, because it's centered in the most populated slums in the country, that is Mathare, and it has 16 zones. The 16 zones, that is where the MISA activities happen. Its main headquarters is in Kangundo Road, Nairobi. But these are the activities that MISA do. It has some projects to do with Shootback, whereby it trains photography, art, and a culture. It has some projects that tend to train more or give insight on HIV and AIDS education. It has some projects to do with the cleanups, that is cleaning up the slums, whereby this project happens that MISA provides the cleaning tools and provides the people and the knowledge on how we can go about and live in a good community. It provides leadership courses for young leaders. Maisa provides coaching courses for the referees, coaches, and other community coaches that are involved in the society. Those are just but part of the Maisa projects that happens in the country. It runs a league that has boys and girls with over 2,000 teams that participate in their 16 zones, where eventually they participate in the league for a whole year. And at the end of the year, we'll have a combined a championship that will bring together the winners from the zones who will eventually one be awarded as the main winner of that year for the Maisa main championships. The zones have the under 12 boys league. We have the under 14 boys and girls league. We have the under 16 boys and girls league. We have the over 18 boys and girls league as well.
Good. When the NFT decided to go in as a partner, we said we want to help Maisa with developing a stronger coaching development plan to educate coaches. That was what our primary aim and still is. How do you see the investment NFT has done? You know, how has that been?
First of all, I will say that getting coaching education, it's not something easy basically from our country, because not unless it's provided by the main country's FA, which are paid for, NFT have come in again to give a promotional kind of courses for these community coaches whereby we don't pay, but eventually we get the knowledge and the basic skills for us to conduct the trainings and also develop the young people in the community that we are having. So first of all, it's a course being provided in conjunction of NFT with Maisa, but it's reaching down to the community coach who could not afford sometimes to go out there and pay for the professional courses that are being conducted by the FA, because everyone is not privileged to make an effort to it. So it is what is making the community coaches to instill the skills and the technical ability needed by the players down there. And it's courtesy of the provision of NFT and Maisa courses. We have seen ourselves go through to the 16 zones and train. Like this year, we had a training of at more than 80 coaches, whom from the 80 coaches, half of them will advance to the advanced basic coaching. And eventually we'll have half of them again advancing to coach educators in the future. Yes.
Very, very good.
Du hører på Fotballtreneren. En podcast fra Norsk Fotballtrenerforening og Norsk Tipping.
You've been able now to develop both a basic course and a more advanced course for coaches. Tell us a little bit about the curriculum that you've been offered.
The curriculum is a good one. It's a practice skill curriculum whereby the coaches are being introduced to both basic and advanced coaching at once, being given a way on how we conduct the trainings, on what we do, how we do it, and when we do it, basically model. And the curriculum is based centered on giving the community coaches, first of all, the basic skills of training development before heading into advanced, whereby now it goes more into the game reading model. But from the basic skills, it's all on how we organize the training, the modules we use in organizing the trainings from the warm-up until the small-sided element. And now when we end up to the advanced level, it's basically on how we open our mind on how we get the game reading ability and how we can make the training from the analysis we have in the game reading ability. Yes.
You are the lead coach educator in our program, William, and we're very happy to have you on board. What do you see is the more challenging things about getting more coach educators on board? I mean, are there interests of becoming a coach educator? Is there a future in being a coach educator? Or how do you see this?
The challenging part of getting a coach educator, will say, it depends with the consistency of instilling the knowledge to a person. I may be the lead coach basically of NFT with other with MAISA projects in Kenya, but I have had other projects that have built my confidence and made me to where I am. I have had a consistency of not less than 10 years to train as a coach educator. For us to get more coach educators in the country, what it means is that we need to start an early training and eventually develop it into lots of consistency with lots of repetition so that we give the people the confidence to stand in front of a lecture hall, in front of other coaches and try to administer the knowledge to those coaches. It needs lots of years of practice and it needs lots of years of investment, and basically that is investment of time, not even funds. So I will say that first of all, we need to start with the identification of those coaches whom we think that can, they have the character to be the coach educators. Then eventually once we have identified them, we put them together, give them more knowledge, let them go, come back, let them go and practice, bring them back again to the lecture or classroom or the coaching room, assist them with more knowledge again, assess them on how they are growing with their confidence, and always give them an advanced education on the coach education or the coach mentorship courses for us to attain the topmost coach educators. Yes.
I see. Do you see a future where more Kenyan coaches could actually become professional, have it as a living? Do you see a future in Kenya for that, or would the financing be poor on that?
There is a future, but we need more networks. I am glad that William can now come from Kenya and attend the World Coaches Conference in Norway, courtesy of NFT and TDBU being the person, of course, to facilitate this. But now we need more networks of the same, because William is only one among the 50 million Kenyan who has this chance to come to World Coaches Conference. We need to open the doors that we get more well-wishers who are willing to invest in most of us as the Kenyan coaches for us to get this opportunity to go out here and learn something that is difficult for a Kenyan coach because of the expenses that come with getting the knowledge. I'll give an example that in Kenya we only have one coach with the UFA license.
Yeah.
And the Kenyan population is over 50 million. Mm. If compared to other countries, we'll say like here in Norway, I'm sure we have more coaches with UEFA, not only UEFA A, but UEFA Pro license. We have less than 10 coaches with UEFA B license in Kenya. And we have not so many coaches with UEFA C license in Kenya.
Oh.
And the football has been there for close to 100 years. But you can imagine that for all those 100 years or over 100 years, we have not invested more in top coaches.
No.
It's not easy to get a UEFA Pro or A license if you finance it yourself. Maybe it will cost you something not less than $20,000 for you to accomplish a UEFA B license, something that not any ordinary coach in Kenya can be willing or even can afford to get that amount of money to take himself out there and get the education. So what we need more is the well-wishers and basically create more networks. And why we are happy that projects like NFT, where we also thank the Norwegian Football Association for it, and of course your effort, Teddy, in conjunction with MAISA, that we are getting the knowledge, no matter how high it could not be, but at least we are getting the know-how on how we can survive there. Mind you, most of the coaches in the country, 99% of any person practicing coaching in Kenya is a student of MAISA. Mm. So was it not for MAISA to come up with these several projects, then the Kenyan football could not be at the state where it is now. Before it had a connection with the Netherlands, that is the Dutch KNVB, which also came into the country and did lots of coaching. But we can only mention KNVB, and now we can only mention NFT. But we cannot mention the connection with Germany. We cannot mention the connection with Wales or England. So I believe we need to open ourselves also, our mind as coaches. We look and try to seek the opportunity. If William can come to Norway, how else can he go back and help the coaches there on how they can get an advanced knowledge or a know-how on surviving in the industry? That is what is more important.
It is. So in your own world, William, how do you re-educate or keep yourself updated? Because you have the internet and so on, but yes. How do you go along to become a better coach yourself?
I will say that with the modern world, with lots of technological input that is happening, I do lots of reading of books. I do lots of other projects which are connected to football. I will say that myself, I'm also the lead coach in Kenya of Premier Skills Coach Education, an English FA program that was in the country since 2009 in October. We are only two lead coaches, myself and a friend called Hamisi. I also do other projects that are connected to football, like Tackle Africa, another project from the English FA. I have other program with the FIFA, like Football for Health or FMAC, that a project that was being supported by FIFA. So all these projects, they always keep me in football. I do lots of research. I do lots of, when I say research, that is research on the internet. I do lots of follow-up on some of the best trainers in the world. I do lots of follow-up on some of the best playing teams in the world myself on how they keep on their trends and surviving. Beside that, I also get a lot of learning when I indulge in coaching young kids, because I see another set of mind whereby they are expressing themselves without instructions. But I also get to learn a lot on how eventually they try to express themselves, being in a free mode whereby they can exercise their talents untapped or unnatured.
Very good. So how is the state of Kenyan football? I mean, in Norway, we're more familiar with your great athletes, the running athletes and all that. That's yes. What we think about when Kenya comes to our mind. But what about the football?
We have had our ups and downs, but we will say there's a tremendous improvement on the footballing level, because now we have more players who are getting options to play in Europe. We recently had a player who was at Tottenham Hotspur. Now he's in the MLS League, Thomas Wanyama. We have had many players getting opportunity to go to the Scandinavian. Of course, we have players who are going to Sweden, IK. We have like four now at IK. Other players are getting opportunities to Belgium. So we'll say that there is a tremendous improvement. There has been an interference of Kenyan football basically from the government because of political interest, whereby FIFA had to come in and sometimes suspend our footballing. Like for the last season, FIFA had suspended us from also participating in the international forum. We had general elections, the general country's election, whereby we got a new president and a new minister of sport. He has come in trying to talk with FIFA so that we get reinstated back to the current situation whereby now we can participate in the national. But I will say that we didn't have enough investment of the government in infrastructure. When I say infrastructure, is that we don't have really developed academies in the country that have a modern way of learning to train the kids from the younger age to the older age, because I believe that for you to have a top cream at the top, you have to have a foundation that was well nurtured below. But we do believe that the government is going to try and help. If not, we as the trainers and the coaches, we are the people to stand up and try to see what we can do, unlike just sitting there and waiting for the support from the government or any other people to reinstate our football. Our national team was doing well. It qualified in the last but one Africa Cup of Nations. We were on the verge of trying to qualify for the next World Cup, having been banned from the recent one. We hired a good coach, of course, from Turkey. He was doing a great job, and we believe that sometimes maybe he needed time to see what the project he was coming up with. But once everything settles, the government settles and they invest in the structure, we do believe that in a decade's time, then again, we'll have reached even the level of playing in the World Cup.
Good. We hope to see Kenya in the World Cup one day, and it might not happen now, but it might happen for the future. And you know how things can turn, because you used to win everything in the athletics.
Yes.
But the Norwegians taking it over now. It's a funny old world, huh? How do you see this in Kenya when Ingebretsen and them winning the 5,000, 3,000?
Something that has made tanks wagging, because now it means that we are losing it to where we used to be the strongest people, because no one will take the 3,000 steeplechase from Kenya. Neither will anyone take the 5,000 meter run from the Kenyans. We had the Ethiopians who were giving us a run for our money. The moment we also started suffering is that when the Kenyan athletes started changing their citizenship, maybe to
Qatar
and other countries. But I think now it's an eye-opener, and especially with the new government, 100% sure, and the president comes from the region where we develop athletes, he's going to make sure that he tries to develop more of those high-attitude running centers and promote more athletes for us to come back and try to take over the 3,000. But it's an eye-opener and a worrying trend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is. It's not worrying for us. We're very proud of our runners. And we never believed we could beat any Kenyans on the steeplechase or the 5,000. But it's happening these days, so it's a funny old world.
Athletes also having other models of training. Maybe they have tried to look at what was making Kenyans, beside having big lungs, to be dominant in this run, in these runs. Are they coming down there like the US athletes who wants to do the long distance running always come down to Kenya and Eldoret, we'd call it Eldoret, for high altitude training?
It's definitely, we have a long tradition in Norway for high altitude training in our cross country. You know, the skiing in Norway is big, huh?
Yes.
But there's always been a great research and work around high altitude. But that doesn't mean that they have to go to Kenya. Some go to Kenya, but they might do the Alps in Europe. But high altitude, they can't get away from that.
Okay.
But I still think that's what they do. They don't do stimuli or drugs or anything.
What is important is to see how consistent they will be, and maybe
we'll see whether or not this family is the top of the iceberg. I don't know. I think they're going to inspire a lot of new runners. I think they stepped the mark, because they can see we can actually compete the best in the world.
Yes.
And now they've done it. There might be a few other ones saying, if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, and which is important for the growth of athletes. I think it's not always good to let it be dominated by one side, like we used to let Brazil dominate the world of football.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, other nations are coming up. Even the smaller nations are giving surprises to the World Cup, like the Saudi Arabia. And we saw Japan doing some great job against Germany.
Good. Yes. William, you're going to be here in Norway for a week, and you're going to attend the Cup Final conference or Cup Final seminar now for 3 days. So how do you see this? What are you going to achieve by being here with all these coaches, 700 coaches over 3 days? What are your expectations?
First of all, I've bought myself a very big book for me to get lots of notes, lots of network, and lots of contacts. I want to thank NFT and, of course, you of this time, that I've come up with being more wise and having opened up my mind. The last time I attended the World Coaches Conference, I was not even a head coach of a Premier League side. But I went back, became a head coach of a Premier League side. I went back, became an assistant head coach, an assistant coach to the national team. So I believe that I will gain more knowledge. I want to create more networks, because I want to do something similar to to what is happening here to the Kenyan coaches, and eventually in the near future do something similar to the East African coaches, and eventually do it even for African coaches if it's possible. So I want to gather a lot of information. I'll be keen enough with my biro pen and the notebook to make sure that I gather what could be so important for me to take back, because it's an opportunity that comes once in every time.
Thank you, William. We're very grateful you took the time off and came to Norway. Wish you the very best for your profession. We wish you the very best for your own life. It's great having you on board. It's great having you here. And we're really impressed about what you have achieved. So thank you again for being part of the podcast.
Okay, thank you so much.
Som sagt, William vår ledende trenerutvikler i MAISA-programmet vårt i Matare. Og har gjort en veldig god jobb nå i forhold til å være med å utvikle ulike kurs som tilbys gratis i slummen. NFT har over en snart 10-årsperiode investert mellom 3 og 4 millioner kroner i deres samfunnsprogrammet, som vi mener en veldig god investering og et veldig godt bilde av at trenerforeninger tar et samfunnsansvar. Vi lever i verdens beste land. Det skulle bare mangle at ikke vi var med og delte litt av rodene. Og vi med og deler i Kenya på et prosjekt som William nå har bekreftet, virker veldig bra og sørger for at nye trenere får muligheten til mer kunnskap, barn og unge får muligheten til en bedre opplevelse av fotball gjennom å ha gode rollemodeller og gode utviklere. Så igjen, takk til William, takk til MAISA, takk til oss selv i trenerforeningen for at vi gjør det her. Og ha en riktig god dag alle sammen.
Fotballtreneren, en podcast av trenere for trenere.